Let's continue reading verses 9 through 15 of Romans 4. Now in these verses we see that salvation is apart from any rite or ritual such as circumcision and apart from any rules such as the law. Romans chapter 4, beginning at verse 9. Does this blessedness then come upon the circumcised only or upon the uncircumcised also? For we say that faith was accounted to Abraham for righteousness. How then was it accounted? While he was circumcised or uncircumcised? Not while circumcised, but while uncircumcised. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had while still uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all those who believe, though they are uncircumcised, that righteousness might be imputed to them also. And the father of circumcision to those who not only are of the circumcision, but who also walk in the steps of the faith which our father Abraham had while still uncircumcised. For the promise that he would be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if those who are of the law are heirs, faith is made void and the promise made of no effect, because the law brings about wrath. For where there is no law, there is no transgression. Once again, let's begin with some background notes. The first three chapters of Romans clearly show that God does not owe salvation to anyone. The whole human race is guilty before God. Romans 3:23, well-known verse, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But God in his grace has made salvation possible. And it is not by lowering his standards, because he must be just. And it is not by some combination of God's grace and human good works. No way. It can't be. Then it would not be pure grace. To be 100% pure grace, there can't be good works involved. Otherwise, salvation is partly earned. Salvation is a gift from God. It is not earned in any way. Furthermore, you see, if salvation is partly by human good works, then people would boast. I got to heaven by being a faithful husband and a good family man. I got to heaven by being a good mother and not yelling at my kids all the time. And I helped in all the good community projects. On and on we could go here. So good works have no part in salvation. Good works are good, and they give evidence of salvation, but they are not the means of salvation. The means of salvation is faith. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for all of our sins and all of our ungodliness and all of our unrighteousness. Now God can declare us righteous if and when we believe. Thus God is just and the justifier of those who believe in Jesus. Look at Romans 3 and verse 26. That he, that is God, might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. So that's God's plan of salvation. And it's God's only way of salvation. Now in Romans 4, we learn that God's way of salvation was the same in the Old Testament, by grace through faith alone. As we've seen, two leading figures from the Old Testament are used as examples, Abraham and David. Now in the verses before us, another possible question that might arise concerning God's way of salvation, that question is answered. So that brings us then to the doctrinal points. Doctrinal point number one, justification is not by religious rites, R-I-T-E-S, all right? Justification is not by religious rites. At this point in Paul's argument for God's way of salvation, someone might say, well, Paul, you've certainly proved your point. Justification is by grace through faith alone. And Paul, you've certainly shown with your examples of Abraham and David that this was God's way of salvation even in Old Testament times, whether it was before the law or after the law. But Paul, you must admit that both Abraham and David were Jews. They had the sign of the Abrahamic covenant. They were circumcised. They were the chosen people. They were in a place of privilege. So, Paul, it looks like God's grace is not pure grace after all. It favors the Jews or the circumcised over the Gentiles or the uncircumcised. So what's Paul's answer here? No way. God does not favor the Jews over the Gentiles when it comes to the way of salvation. When was Abraham declared righteous? When he was circumcised or before he was circumcised? Clearly before he was circumcised. In fact, Genesis 15:6, where Abraham is declared righteous, is at least 14 years before Genesis 17, when Abraham was circumcised. So justification then has nothing to do with the privilege of being a Jew or having undergone the rite of circumcision. Look once again at verses 10 through 12. How then was justification accounted? While he, that is Abraham, was circumcised or uncircumcised? Not while circumcised, but while uncircumcised. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had while still uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all those who believe, though they are uncircumcised, that righteousness might be imputed to them also, and the father of circumcision to those who not only are of the circumcision, but who also walk in the steps of the faith which our father Abraham had while still uncircumcised. So do you see the point? Abraham is the spiritual father of all the faithful, whether they are Jews or Gentiles. Justification is not based on any religious rite like circumcision, as if that puts you into a special privileged class. Justification is by means of faith, regardless of place of privilege or religious rite. All right, let's apply this today. Some people think they are Christians and going to heaven because they have undergone the religious rite of baptism, for example. Nothing could be further from the truth. Baptism is good, but it does not save a person. You know, Paul clearly distinguished between the gospel and baptism in 1 Corinthians 1:17 when he said, "For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel." People who believe that baptism is necessary for salvation have a tough time with this verse. Baptism follows salvation. It is not necessary for salvation. Justification is not by baptism or by any other religious rite. Justification is not by religious rites. Doctrinal point number two, justification is not by religious rules. Justification is not by religious rules. In verses 13 through 15, Paul anticipates the question of the law being brought in again. Back in chapter 3 and verse 28, the emphatic statement is made that a man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law. So now the point here in verses 13 through 15 of chapter 4 is that Abraham came before the law, and therefore God's promises to Abraham could not be based on his keeping the law or even the privilege of having the law. Furthermore, you see, if you bring in the law as far as justification goes, you have problems. Problem number one, faith is made void. Verse 14, "For if those who are of the law are heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of no effect." If you put justification on the basis of having and keeping the law, then out the window goes any idea of faith in the promise of God, because promise and law keeping don't mix. It's either promise or rules. You can't have both. And problem number two, the law brings about wrath. Verse 15, because the law brings about wrath. For where there is no law, there is no transgression. As long as there is no law, there is no transgression. Once you have the law, then there are consequences to breaking it. So while it was a privilege for the Jews to have the law, it certainly wasn't a factor in Abraham's justification or anyone else's justification. Abraham's justification came through the righteousness of faith. Verse 13, Abraham believed the promise of God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Verse 9, once again, for we say that faith was accounted to Abraham for righteousness. Abraham believed the promises of God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now, do you see the application here for today? Justification is not by religious rules. It's not by having rules or trying to keep the rules. God does not justify people because they religiously go to church every Sunday. God does not justify people because they pray every day. God does not justify people because they read the Bible every day. God justifies people by grace alone, through faith alone. Justification is not by religious rules. And finally, a practical application here, all right? Remember the initials BMOC. Remember the initials BMOC. Now, I don't know whether those initials mean anything to you, but when I was back in college, they meant, can anybody help me fill in the blank here? What, Tony? Big man on campus. How many ever heard that before? All right, a few hands, all right? Now, our application today has nothing to do with big men on campus. The application has to do with God's way of salvation. But I know it's an easy way for me to remember 4 points about God's way of salvation by these four letters. B stands for basis of salvation. God's basis for man's salvation has always been the same, the finished work of Christ at Calvary. Whether it is people saved in Old Testament times or New Testament times. Yes, the Lord Jesus died in history, but God is not bound by time. The basis of salvation has always been the same, the finished work of Christ. M stands for the means of salvation. The means of salvation has always been the same throughout human history, by grace through faith alone. O stands for the object of faith. The object of man's faith has always been the same. The one true God, the God of the Bible. Now C stands for the content of faith. Now the content of faith has not always been the same. The content of faith in New Testament times is certainly more than what it was in Old Testament times. I mean, the Lord Jesus Christ has come, gone to the cross and died. He's been raised. He's ascended. And the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ goes out today. It's proclaimed. So the content of faith at any time is what God reveals. Now, when a person responds in faith and believes the true God and what God has revealed, then that person is saved. That's why Genesis 15:6 is quoted here in Romans 4. Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now, what did Abraham believe? Certainly not the content of faith that we have now, but he believed all that God revealed to him, the one true God, all that God had revealed. God accounted it to him for righteousness. So maybe these initials will be helpful to you to remember these four great points about God's way of salvation. Remember the initials, BMOC.